Welcome to the Pure Flicks Podcast, a show brought to you by PureFlicks.com. PureFlicks.com, the faith, family, and fun video streaming service. Get ready for uplifting news, scripture, movie reviews, and interviews with some of your favorite actors, authors, and pastors. Let's get started.
Hey, what's going on? It's Billy Hollowell, and welcome to the Pure Flicks Podcast. We are heading into the weekend, and I'm hoping that you're all doing very, very well. I'm excited for today's show because I'm actually playing an interview that we did with Christopher Polaha. If you don't know Christopher Polaha, he has been an actor for like 20 years. He's been around for a long time. He's done a lot. He actually is going to be in the Jurassic World Dominion film, which comes out next year. He was also in Wonder Woman. He's been in many, many other films. You definitely know him, and I'm excited to have him on the show because his story is incredible. He is a very strong Christian. He has been working in Hollywood for a long time, and we are going to be talking about his faith, his journey into Hollywood, and a really, really crazy death-defying near-death scenario that he found himself in and how that scenario changed his life and his perspective. And so I want to just get right into it today. With no further ado, let's welcome Christopher Polaha to the Pure Flicks Podcast. Hey, Chris, what's going on?
Hey, Billy, how are you today, man? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing well. I'm excited that you're on because your story is probably one of my favorite Hollywood stories, just like how people get into Hollywood and how they handle their faith. And your career, by the way, has been a little crazy. Like you've been blowing up Wonder Woman, and you've got some other big projects coming out too. I don't know if you want to talk about those, but what has it been like for you? Okay, well, I guess we'll start with COVID and then I want to get into your story, but what has 2020 into 2021 been like for Chris Polaha?
I gotta be honest with you, Billy. I'm a little it's like having survivor guilt. 2020 happened to be a really beautiful, magical year for me personally and creatively and for my family. It affected us in the sense that March 10th came and we shut our doors and we went and lived inside and we didn't, you know, we were terrified. And my wife was hand washing every grocery, you know, item that came in through the door. And we were
like wet wiping them or yeah.
Like
we did alcohol. That. We yeah, did like that.
Every like the ink off the bags of chips, like eating these like, chips with no label because the Cheetos have been wiped off. but the other things that happened were, so one of the cool jobs that I got right before COVID started was Jurassic World 3 Dominion. And we started filming in February. COVID hit. The production came to a halt. And I got a call from Universal. I was just a weekly hire. And they were going to have me work for I think a total of 6 weeks. And they put me under contract and they were like, and that means if there's more Universal stuff that we have a first, you know, first rights on your character. And I was like, that's amazing. So all of a sudden I got a little bump in the upgrade, you know, as far as like the casting goes for this
pretty
job.
Good. It's a pretty good upgrade.
Good upgrade. And we started filming again on July 1st. And so I was in the UK near the end of June for quarantine to just live in this bubble in England, in Ivor, England, with the cast of Jurassic World Dominion, which was, I mean, it was like a totally bizarre otherworldly experience. And I had off all of August. I didn't work all of August. And their original intention was to send me home, but because of COVID, they said, you know what, if you stay, we'll bring your family to you. So why don't, do you want to do that? And I said, absolutely. So my wife and kids came to England with me and we were all there together living in this hotel.
That's so crazy.
Jeff Goldblum's upstairs neighbor. I mean, it was the weirdest.
It's like a dream. It's like a dream that you're living in. So you had a good year though. I mean, you had a good year, which, you know, you shouldn't, I know a lot of people didn't, but it's nice to hear that people had good years. I didn't have a terrible year either. I had a good year, you know? And I think, you know, it's good to focus on that, I think, and to be grateful for it, right?
Be grateful for it. Hey, listen, I remember in 2008, the world was collapsing and I had a job. And I remember sitting there going, things are good right now, but I know that there are ramifications. And it did catch up with me. I remember like 2013, it caught up with me, like the economics and So you could be sitting pretty 1 minute, you know, like it's the old Frank Sinatra song, flying high in April, shot down in May, right back up in June again. But I think what COVID did was, if you were a creative person like you or I, like we're both very creative and resourceful, and our jobs depend on us communicating with people. And I think that COVID opened up huge opportunities for people like us. And on March 17th, I hit my Instagram live button and went live on Instagram and started this like a little thing called the Palash Chautauqua.
You know, I bought a hat. I have a hat. I supported you. I bought a hat. And I got one. And it's cool. I mean, you've been doing this Instagram show. And what I love about it is you tackle real life topics. Obviously, people are following you there because they're watching your movies. They're seeing the things you've been in, the shows you've been in, and you've got this fan base, but you're turning that into actually talk about really important things. And you're doing it in a way that it doesn't beat people over the head. It brings a topic up and then people talk about it. You actually had me on one of them, which was really fun.
Yeah. I had you on the story because of your book.
Yeah, exactly. I got to do the ghost for one, but
I was worried I was losing it. And then you brought it back. I was like, yeah.
What made you want to do that though? Because, you know, listen, you're an actor. You could just do actor things, but what made you want to speak about things that matter?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty bored. I gotta be honest with you. I'm pretty bored hearing about actors. Like, I love watching good ones do their job well in movies, and I love being transported and taken. But outside of a film or a movie, I mean, a film or a TV show, like I don't care that much about actors. And so I think the biggest thing, and that's not fair of me because I know that people care about actors. And so I have a fan base and they're really loyal and they're really like, they do care. And and whenever I would post something, I had this community that was starting to build. And I was scared, man. I had pneumonia in 2018. I had pneumonia again in 2019. And I was so sick that I said to my wife one morning in September of 2019, I said, I think I'm dying. Like, I don't feel good. I feel like I was drowning. Went to the ER. They did x-rays. I had a CT scan. Went to a pulmonologist. They assumed it was another round of pneumonia. You know, and so I was nervous about COVID because if I got sick, I felt like my lungs were already in jeopardy. So I just wanted to see what people were doing in the world. And I wanted to connect with people. And then very quickly, it became this place where I had people show up every week, and I had these regulars show up every week, and they would DM me, and they were alone, and they were like, I really look forward to this show because it's my one chance to connect with other human beings and to just, so all of a sudden I really stopped being an actor in that moment. And I just started being a citizen of the world. Like, I just started being a human being. And a part of my life is the fact that I am a Christian. I have this belief system and I believe in this story. And what's funny about being a Christian is it really is just a story. And I happen to believe that it's a true story. And there's people who believe that it's not a true story. But when you believe that it's a true story, it almost becomes more like a, do you remember? Okay, question for you, Billy. Have you ever seen the Marvel movie about the doctor? I'm forgetting the name.
Is it Doctor Who?
No, it's the Marvel movie where he's Cumberbatch is the guy.
Oh! I know what you're talking about. I can't think of the name. Oh, man. The answer would be yes, because I've seen like almost every movie I feel like ever made. But
okay, it's the Marvel movie. He's Doctor Strange. Is it? No. Anyway, Tilda Swinton.
Doctor Someone. He's Doctor Someone. There's a lesson here though, which I know.
Marvel Universe. Everyone's gonna be like, you bonehead. In the Marvel Universe, where Cumberbatch is the Doctor, he's talking to Tilda Swinton. And she's talking about, there's this scene, and it's funny because it really is this amazing, and I wish I could pull it up and we could watch the scene together, but it really is this amazing sort of metaphor for the Christian narrative. Because she's talking about, as you speak words, these words start to weave a reality, and it starts to create this other dimension that you can, like a portal that you can walk through. And to me, it's like the minute you start talking about Jesus and you start claiming, you know, his life over your life, you get freed from a lot of stuff. There's a lot of curses that get broken, and there's a lot of chains that get broken. There's a lot of, because all of a sudden you're in this relationship, and what's beautiful about it is that it leads you to the way to a living God. And so all of a sudden you find yourself in a relationship with a living God. All that to say, while COVID was wreaking havoc and scaring people and terrifying people, I was taking solace in this narrative that I've taken solace in my whole life. And that became paramount. It became more important than Jurassic World. It became more important than Hallmark movies I've done. And on Good Friday, because it was the day that Jesus died, I thought it was really interesting, or a great moment to talk about death. And it was the first time that I really publicly, you're the first time I really publicly shared my testimony on your.
Yeah. And I don't even remember what that, it must've been, it was, I was at the Blade. I forget where I was, but we, at the, yeah. It was years ago now. It was like 2014, maybe.
It was 2015. And I think about three months later, I got.
You know better than I do. Look at this.
WME. I like left my agent. I was like, is it because I talked about my.
You're like, did Billy
just
ruin my career? Like, and now look at you. Like, maybe it was the best. That interview was the best thing that ever happened.
The best thing that ever happened. I just didn't know it at the time. And so on Good Friday, I just talked about how the Christian narrative talks about death, which is do not be afraid. And Jesus overcame it. And he rose again 3 days later. And what that has always meant to me, even as a child, was that, yeah, we're going to die, but this isn't the whole story. And there's something extraordinary that's waiting for us. And so that became paramount for me to share with people. And man, when I started sharing it, the response, like by Easter, I think like 12,000 people and then 27,000 people. I mean, and I don't have a million followers. Like you have far more followers than I do on Twitter and that stuff. But like,
you're killing it on Instagram though. But it's because of what you're talking about, because when you're a Christian, it impacts everything you do. And that's why I'm sitting here asking you why you decided to talk about these things. But I've always known you to be open to talk about these things because it's who you are. And I think if you haven't seen these conversations, you need to follow him on Instagram and watch these. You do it every week now, right? I mean, it's like a weekly thing.
Friday nights, yeah. I changed from Friday night because I felt like people needed a party in the beginning of quarantine. And you know, it's cool. Like Rainn Wilson came on and he did a commencement speech. Tim Tebow came on and talked about hope and hopeless times. And then when I came back from my summer hiatus, I moved it to Sunday nights because a lot of people weren't going to church, and it's not a Christian show per se. Because it is open, all are welcome, and it's open to everybody. And that's always been the motto for the Chautauqua. But it's a place to tell your stories. And it really became an inspirational, like an hour every week for people to just to drop in and feel inspired. And you came on my show. Gabby Reese is going to come on the show this year. Tim Griffin, who's about to be the governor of Arkansas, is coming on next week. And it's just, I want people to tell their stories.
Well, and so let's talk about your story, because, and I feel like every time I talk to you, I'm like, tell your story again, Chris. Like, I want to hear your story, because your story, and I know that the audience watching this right now, they may not know it, they may not have heard it, but your sort, you sort of went through this crazy event in New York, and I don't want to tell you like where to start because your story is so great, but I guess maybe explain this event, this sort of almost this near death experience that unfolded and how it transformed your faith in your life at that point.
Sure. Well, I think to start at the beginning, so grew up in a Christian household. My dad, devout Catholic. My mom was like any kind of Pentecostal church that rolled through Reno, any like tent, she would go like Holy Spirit driven churches. And so I had this very interesting mix. And as a little kid, you know, was like in relationship with the Holy Spirit, would have conversations, prayed all the time. And so I always considered myself, even like I was called a Jesus freak my freshman year because I had these posters on the wall that said, you know, about praying and my little, and people would make fun of me for my faith. But then something really crazy happened junior year. Things were going so well with my acting. I had this girlfriend.
So you were acting early on. Like you were into acting super early on.
My freshman year in high school. Yeah. I got cast in a play and it became the thing that I was just really good at. And then it became the thing. I was so good at that it made my grades better. It made me just drop in. Like it just became, it focused me. And that became a lot, you know, my identity really. And, so much so, actually, that my identity as a Christian got replaced, and I had this really crazy prayer my junior year, fall semester of my junior year, and I remember praying it, and I said, Lord, I don't know if this is you doing all these amazing things in my life or if this is me, but I'm just going to take a break for like 6 months. I'm just not going to pray for 6 months. I don't know why. It was literally a prayer of pride, and I breaking my relationship with God. I was taking a little time off from God for
You're taking a break. You were taking a commercial break. Did you think at that time that, oh, this will be fine, like I'll come back to this? Like what, or was it just kind of a thing that was happening and you weren't really thinking long term?
I really thought like 6 months later I would pick back up. Like I literally was like, yeah, in 6 months, I'll start praying again every night. I mean, I was really like, I was in relationship. Like it was a real deal. And I was praying and at night, and I was just, you know, that 6 months turned into a 6 year. And I've told you this before, but like a 6 year wandering through the desert, like my version of wandering through the desert. And ended up in New York City at NYU. And I was still very much a Christian, but I also wasn't holding myself accountable. So, you know, I was sowing my wild oats. I was doing what a lot of young men do, and I was having a lot of fun. And I remember this feeling that God was starting to move in on me. And there was this kind of awareness of like, I just felt God's presence in my life. Well, one night, October 21st, 1996 or 97, I always forget the year, but it doesn't really matter. But anyway, my sophomore year of college, I was walking in New York City with a friend of mine, Catherine. And we'd had this amazing night. Like we listened to Lou Reed, Perfect Day. We played it over and over and over again. I left the house and I was wearing this thick sheep shear leather jacket, cords, a white polo shirt. And she was underdressed for the evening in a t-shirt, a blazer, like a little windbreaker that I let her borrow, and some jeans. And we went to this Irish pub. We had a glass of Guinness. We had a second glass of Guinness. Like we weren't in no rush. She wanted to see Macy's for some reason. I was like, all right, we'll walk uptown and we'll go to Macy's. And at one point we found these like cardboard sort of newspaper piping that we could sword fight with. And we were like, we were kids. We were just having a blast.
Just having fun in New York.
Having fun in New York, you know? And we were walking up, I want to say it was 9th Avenue. And we were between 25th and 26th Street. And we were singing this little song. And I was on her right, between her and the traffic. And for some reason I moved and I switched places and I ended up on her left between her and the buildings. And I said to her, I turned to her and I said, I don't know why, Catherine, but I feel better on this side of you. And about a block later, I hear this tick, 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 tick. And I look down and the grate in the sidewalk blows open. We're engulfed in a fireball. Literally everything turns orange like fire. It goes back into the basement. And then the next thing I know, my hands are up. And I see one of those leather pizza pouches that they keep the pizza warm with when the guy delivers it, like literally in slow motion, just go like right by me. The next thing I know, I'm standing in the first lane of traffic facing the trade towers. I look down, I've got blood all on my chest. I look at my hands, they're bloody. I turn towards the building and I see this guy, this sort of dude screaming into the basement. And I clock his height, his skin color, what he was wearing. And then I keep turning north and I find Catherine standing in the street facing the Empire State Building. So here's what was crazy, Billy. We're walking. Instead of me getting blown and knocking into her and us rolling into traffic, and we're in New York City and having cars like run us over, there's a red light. That one block was empty. I get moved into the street on my feet. I'm standing facing one way. She's moved standing on her feet facing another way. It was just too much. And so I said, is that your blood or mine? She said it was mine. At that point, a car did go by. It was a taxi. I ran. I banged on the window. My blood's everywhere. The guy rolls his window down. He's like, I've got a fare in the back seat. And there's this guy in the back like looking at me because I'm this whole thing was 80 stitches and it just dropped the length of my mouth. I remember looking at it in the hospital and so your jugular breaks open here. And so this is a part, and this is literally just spurting blood, not to be graphic. I'm sorry.
But it gives a sense of what condition you were in and what happened. Yeah.
So meanwhile, this car, this white sedan with white interior, it was filled with Japanese tourists and they did not speak English very well, had pulled over and Catherine was getting into their car. And I remember looking at her. And I remember thinking, I'm going to bleed all over this car. I'm going to ruin this car. And more importantly, I don't know where to go. And I don't think they know where to go. And this is before we had IMAPs and before Google and, you know, before cell phones, really, like there wasn't, we couldn't just like tap in St. Vincent's Hospital and know to go there. And so while I'm sitting here, like not knowing how to say, Catherine, we can't, I don't want to get in this car with these people. We can't do this. It's not, I'm going to die. The guy in the cab had made him flip a U-turn on 9th Avenue. He pulls up and he gets out and he says, my cab's going to take you to St. Vincent's. It's already paid. Get in and go. So wow. Me, I'm like wrapping up paper towels, shoving them in my face. Really crazy story. I told this to an executive at Hallmark and they're using it in on March 29th. There's a new Mystery 101 coming out and they're using this in the movie. So you'll
see. Wow. So this has become a storyline now.
Now it's a storyline. But more importantly, it was this. So I remember, you know, going to the doctor, they stitched me up 120 stitches total. And wow. The next week I had this sort of, have you ever had that experience when you're about to go to sleep and you have an epiphany and you just see a truth, a huge, big, big truth. And then it goes away. And, but you had it and you can't explain it. You can't articulate it, but you've experienced that thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I was in that state of mind for like a week and I would see people and their joy. If they were joyful, they would just, I would be filled with joy. And if they were hurting, I literally would start crying. Like I was so, I was hyper empathetic. And I was seeing people, I think, on a spiritual level. Anyway, I would just start, I started praying fervently. And that was the moment when I decided that I wanted God. And I had done, the following year, I did this thing called Semester at Sea. And I wanted to study world religions. And so I studied Judaism and Buddhism and Hinduism and Shintoism and Muslim. And I went around and, but my roommate was this guy named Brian Johnson, who was like a born again Christian. He's like, brother, why don't you just come to Bible study? He's like, you're studying all these other guys coming. And I was like, I know Christianity, but I would go. And all of a sudden Jesus just, you know, he wanted me back. And here's a part of the story that I never told you. And I've never given my wife credit for this, but she's long overdue for it. She had to ask at one point, she was like, why don't you ever tell the end of the story? And I'm like, you know what? Because we're still living it. And I never think to because it's not as dramatic. But I got my first job in 2001 on a pilot called Third Degree. And I remember getting down on my hands and knees. And I'd never wanted a steady girlfriend. I certainly didn't want a wife because I was an actor. And I was
living the actor life. Yeah,
rogue. And I knew that I wasn't going to, you know, I didn't want to hurt anybody. But my heart changed. And Billy, I got down on my hands and my knees and I prayed that God bring a woman into my life. And during that pilot, my co-star was a guy named Jensen Ackles, who's on that show Supernatural Forever. And now he's doing The Boys or whatever on Netflix. And he said, yeah, I got this friend, Julianne, and they were on a soap opera called Days of Our Lives together. Anyway, I heard about her, but I was in New York. She lived in LA and Nary the Twain would meet. Well, weirdly, they needed to shoot like a few extra shots, which was unheard of for a pilot. And they flew me from New York to Los Angeles. I was there for 3 days and I met this woman in Casa Vega one night. And we just talked the whole night. And the next night she said, what's your friend doing? And so we went out again and we talked that whole night. And I planted a kiss on her, a nice gentlemanly kiss in the morning. And she said, who's taking you to the airport? And I said, I have a car that's going to take me. She said, well, can I drive you? And I was like, yeah, sure. So she's driving me to the airport and she said, what are you going back to New York City for? And I said, not really anything. I'm going to wait tables and I'm going to wait to see if this pilot gets picked up. And she's like, do you want to stay? She had a guest room. Now she was somebody, she waited for marriage. It was very pure and very innocent. We courted for 2 years. I never left LA. Like I literally.
That's crazy. I did not know that part of the story. That's crazy.
If you're going to be bold in anything, be bold in love. And so she had a black pickup truck. She flipped it around on the 405. I mean, she got off and she got back on. We drove out to Malibu. We hung out on a beach all day. I stayed for like the weekend and then I went home to my parents and we just started dating. And it was one of those things where it was funny because she is this amazing Christian. And God put this woman in my life to sharpen me and to hone me. And so, you know, I remember ever since then, it was almost like his relationship was parallel to it was manifesting in my physical relationship. And I don't know if that's healthy or not, but I think
it's interesting. But it's interesting to me your journey, right? Everything you just described, and I love just letting you tell it because you're such a good storyteller, and you're taking you and you're like taking us through it. You are the, I mean, you're what happened to you, the injury that, you know, and that faith journey that God's like pursuing you that entire time, right? And then you're in Hollywood, right? And so to have two people who are working in Hollywood who love Jesus, there are lots of Christians in Hollywood, but I think, you know, you really take a special approach to how you deal with issues, how you talk, how you treat people. Not that others don't. I think it's unique. I think your faith shines through that. And it's amazing, though, to, again, for people who are struggling now, who might be watching, maybe they're struggling in their faith, maybe they're taking 6 months off from praying, you know, to see what's going to happen. To kind of hear how God brought you back. I mean, when you tell that, you see the little tidbits of God kind of like throwing things in or allowing things to be in your path and then bringing you back. You think you're not going to get married, and here you are with this amazing family, right? Like, and you're where I would assume even beyond where you ever thought you could be with this amazing career in Hollywood. What has been the biggest lesson for you living as a Christian in an industry that I think people on the outside, at least, will look at and say, man, that must be hard to be a Christian?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm an alien. I think the hardest challenge to be a Christian in Hollywood is that you are a minority. Like, you're not there. It isn't. So your way of life is it's an anathema to how most people roll. And that's not to say that everyone in Hollywood is out drinking and drugging and, you know, living wild lives. But, you know, like, it's funny, like, there was a show I worked on, and one of the things that the cast loved to do is go to strip clubs, which, you know, I think by and large, most people don't have an opinion one way or the other, but I was always like, I don't like, that's, it was a little
right. Not for me as a Christian, not for me, right?
Not for me. And so I was, you find yourself like at a certain point saying goodnight a lot earlier than the rest of your, so you're missing all that like intense bonding. There's a lot of that. I think that's ultimately, I think the question becomes, who are you in relationship with? And if you're in relationship with God and you put that first and foremost, you're going to offend people because they want to be first and foremost. And at a certain point, you're saying goodnight. And so there was never a sense of judgment, and there was never a sense of like, hey, I'm better than you, or you're sinning. And I think that's why people, you know, have, I mean, a lot of my friends are Jewish. A lot of my friends are not Christians at all. They, you know, literally just all walks of life. And I love them all. And I really do. I love the people I work with. And I get to be that guy. Like, my mission field is set. I get to go to work. And if I'm nice, and if I'm on time, and I know my lines, and I'm kind, and I start reflecting God's love, that becomes a fragrance for people to walk up to me and be like, why are you different? Like, what's
right.
going
what on? What is it that makes you stand out? Like, why do I notice exactly? Yeah.
And then I get exactly. I get to say, hey, man, I don't know. Like, and then ultimately I get to have these. And here's the fun story about what happened to me. And this is why I think God did what he did to me. Because about 6 months before my blast, I felt like I was being followed in New York. And I really did. I felt like I was being hunted by somebody. And Billy, this is going to sound like I'm crazy for Cocoa Puffs. I turned around, and what I saw in that moment was this giant two-story tall purple angel. And it was a flash. It was like I was like the veil was lifted for a second. I saw this figure, and then it disappeared. And I had a sense of peace. And I knew I had like a guardian angel, so that when I was blown up, and I ended up in the street, and I moved. Okay, so the first thing, supernatural, I moved for no reason. And was like, I don't know why, but I feel like I'm on this, I feel better on this side of you. And then all of a sudden, I moved, and I'm in the street standing, and she's moved in the street standing, like almost as if something picked us up and moved us. So now that I have this really interesting, that God used this very interesting delivery method to speak to me, when I'm on set and I'm talking to somebody who's a spiritualist or who's new age, and I'm like, yeah, I've had an angel, and it, like, God used an angel to save my life. That opens the conversation in a way that you like, it's amazing. And the people are like,
It doesn't sound crazy. And it doesn't sound crazy. I know to some people who maybe don't believe, or they don't understand, or even some people in churches who aren't used to that, but it's not, I mean, it's not crazy. Like, at the end of the day, we know as Christians that this entire world that we read about in scripture, these stories that some people will say they're just stories, but we know that they're real, that these things have happened. So no, it doesn't sound crazy to me. Your story is incredible, and you're changing people's lives, not only by sharing it, but by the way you're living in your industry. And I think any of us, whether you're in Hollywood or no matter where you are, that is how we need to move our feet forward, right? I think sometimes we think we just needed to tell people constantly, and there's nothing wrong with telling people the truth, right? And sharing the gospel, but living it is really the key, I think.
Well, that's the thing. Thank you. Yeah. So in the fall, I moved it to Sunday night, and I created like a semester, and the whole point of the semester was the idea of kingdom living. And what does that mean? And is it specifically applicable to Christians, or can everybody take part in kingdom living? And really, we started analyzing the fruits of the Spirit. So looking at peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, joy, love, self-control. And each week was an exploration of what that verb and adjective, because each fruit is both a defining word, but also an active word. And what does it mean? And are they applicable to the world or specifically for Christians? And my argument for joy is that it's a very Christian emotion. We can all have happiness, but the Holy Spirit can give us joy so that even when we're suffering from COVID or financial disparity or whatever that is, we can still feel a joy knowing that there's hope and knowing that that God loves us and that we're going to be taken care of. And it kind of led to love, and love led to, called it my Jesus episode. And I invited people to said, if you want to know Jesus, say this prayer with me. And
that's
amazing. Yeah. And I just said a little prayer with people. And I don't know how many people accepted Jesus that night, but because there was a lot of people asking, like, how do I know, like, if I want to call myself, like, how do I join this club? Like, what is this? And the difference between the Chautauqua and anything else is that I'm not after a membership fee. I'm not trying to, it's something I do for free. It's something I'm doing because COVID right now is scaring a lot of people. There's a lot of people who are really, really hurting. And I have been blessed. And I think this is the easiest way that I know to give back. And it's been a lot of fun, you know?
So my final question for you, because people need to know, where can they watch this on Sundays? Where can they find you and follow you?
Yeah. If you go to Instagram and you click on an icon at Polahaha, Polahaha, there's a little blue check. You got to look for that little blue check, because for some reason, there's all these little fake accounts out there.
They're trying to be you. They're trying to.
What it is, it's annoying. People are like, hey, DM me. I'm like, it wasn't, you know, it's fake. Don't ignore that. So you got to look for Polahaha with a little blue check and follow that account. And on Sunday nights, 4 p.m. Pacific time, excuse me, I go live for 1 hour. My son and I wrote a little theme song. So you'll see me be a goofball on the front end of it. And then I often, every week I go live with people whose stories are infinitely fascinating and inspiring and hopeful. And we talk and we share. We sort of base every week, I have a theme. So last week was goals. This Sunday is going to be about leadership. One Sunday we'll do fear, like whatever that is. I want to bring people on who are in charge of different nonprofits. And I want to start, like, there's a guy named Moli in Africa who has adopted 20,000 children. And I'm hoping to get him on in February.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I just want to talk to people who are making a difference and who are either wanting to experience the full expression of the human experience, or who are literally living it, who are kingdom living and really embodying, like I think you do, Billy.
Thank you. And I know you do. I'm sitting here like, you know, I love the fact that you're doing this. I think it's huge. And I hope everybody watching will go and follow. And thanks for taking the time today to do this. I really appreciate it.
Of course, man. It's my pleasure, Billy.
Did you know you can access thousands of entertaining and inspiring faith and family-friendly TV shows, movies, and original series? It's simple. Just log on to PureFlix.com right now to start your free trial. From kids' content to some of the most uplifting films, we've got your entire family covered. Sign up today.
We are rounding out to the end of our show here. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Christopher Palaha. Again, just a fascinating story. I'm always intrigued to hear people who have gone from one place in their faith to another, and you hear the stories and the events and the moments that really led up to that heart change, and it's pretty amazing. So check out Christopher Palaha. Check out the Palaha Chautauqua over on his Instagram. He had all the details in the interview there, but you could find him over on Instagram. Just search for his name, and you'll see him there, and he does that show every Sunday, so check that out. And be sure to check out Edify, E-D-I-F-I, in the App Store on Android and Apple. We are a part of the Edify Podcast Network. Check out the other amazing shows over at Edify, edifi.app/podcast. And I will be back very soon with another episode of the PureFlix Podcast.
That's all for today's podcast. You can follow PureFlix on Facebook at facebook.com/PureFlix and on Twitter at PureFlix. And be sure to log on today to PureFlix.com for thousands of faith and family-friendly movies and TV shows. Thanks for listening to the PureFlix Podcast.